John Ralia, who lives right here in Lincoln, Rhode Island, begins work with the Metropolitan Opera in New York on New Year's Day. He's taken some time to stop by our studios to speak with us. Hello, John.
Hi, how are you?
So the first question is, you've been all over the world. You've sang in many different important cities for opera and for classical music, and you live in Lincoln, Rhode Island. Can I ask why?
My wife's family are all from Rhode Island, and we had lived in the West Coast before my career really started to take off, and we were looking for a place to live kind of East Coast near New York-ish, and you know, it's worked out really well to be near the in-laws, you know, because I'm gone, you know, anywhere from 8-9 months of the year.
So backtracking,
yeah,
all the way back, how did you get into classical music and opera, and then what led you to pursue it as a profession?
Well, I grew up in a very musical family. In fact, opera singing is kind of the family trade. Both my parents are singers, but I didn't really pay much attention to the art of singing growing up, although I always loved music. I played tons of instruments growing up. Started with piano, drums, guitar. That's kind of like my main instrument aside from singing. I love guitar. I played all sorts of styles. I was a rocker as a teenager, you know, and sort of worshiped Jimi Hendrix, and you know, so I've got a lot of different backgrounds to it. And around age 18, my dad decided to experiment with my voice one day. He said, "Why don't you try to sing a few notes?" And a few notes led to a few more the next day, and then a few more the day after that. And I realized that there was this, you know, obviously was in my blood. And I had singing in my ear growing up, and it came extremely naturally, much more naturally than any of the instruments I'd picked up.
You return to the Metropolitan Opera in New York City in January. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about the very first time you had a professional singing experience with the Metropolitan Opera.
To a young beginning singer who's just, you know, entering into the world stage, it's intimidating because it is also probably the biggest, you know, top-level opera house. It seats about 4,000 people. And what a lot of people don't know about opera singers is we don't use microphones. We have to project over a full orchestra into a house, you know, with, in this case, 4,000 people, and be heard.
Wow. And what were you singing? What was the role you were singing in the opera?
Alidoro. And the opera is called Cenerentola. It's by Rossini. And it's the tale of Cinderella. In this case, I'm the guardian angel instead of the fairy godmother. It's a man who comes in.
What was the most surprising part of being in that experience?
You go into it feeling very much like it's you kind of trying to fit into a very, very large machine, because it is a huge company with a lot of different people doing their own things, and you can feel a little lost in it when you first walk into it. And you do a performance, and then suddenly you get a huge ovation from an audience. Suddenly you feel this level of acceptance and validation for all the work you've put into your career up until this one evening.
Have you ever experienced a real kind of crazy show must go on kind of moment on stage?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I had a fake mustache on, right? And it was not glued on very well. And so one side of it started to come off as I was singing, and it was almost like blowing in the wind, you know. And I decided, well, hopefully it won't fall off completely, so I kind of turned side profile to the audience so they couldn't see the one half coming off. But it's kind of stressful when you don't know if your mustache is going to come flying off in the middle of an aria you're singing, you know, because you're also singing a very sad kind of tender moment, and you don't want to ruin it with comedy, you know.
Yes, yes. Was that at the Met?
Yeah, that was at the Met. Yes, because it just happened after you know, because we're all like these guys who live in this apartment. We're bohemians, right? So we were just having a pillow fight actually before this, and that's what got knocked the mustache loose.
So. And do you listen to music other than classical music, or?
Yeah, I listen to a lot of different stuff. You know, rock, jazz. Yeah, really, you name it. Everything I kind of grew up with in the 80s, still kind of love to listen to that stuff.
So you can enjoy music that is not necessarily as complex?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Actually, in my spare time, I listen to things probably that aren't so much often classical. And, you know, good music is good music as far as I'm concerned. You know, it really gets to the heart. It's good.
And so finally, I was wondering if maybe you could say one of your favorite pieces, and not necessarily an aria, and if you would be interested in singing a couple bars.
Oh, sure.
Okay, cool. Okay.
Vecchia cima rasenti, io resto al pianto a scendere il sacro monte ordevi. Le mie grazie ricevi, mai non curvasti il loro onor suoi ricchi e dai potenti. Passar nelle tue tasche come in antri tranquilli filosofi e poeti.
Wow, that was amazing. That was beautiful. What was that?
That's from Bohème. In La Bohème, there is a woman named Mimi who is dying of tuberculosis, which a lot of people were dying of in the 19th century. And there's a group of friends who are trying to save her, and I'm sort of the younger, quiet one. And I decide to sell my overcoat, which has been it's one of my prized possessions because I'm a philosopher and I keep all my books in it. And I decide to sell it to get some medicine to save her in the last scene, but it's too late by that point. But this is the aria I sing, almost sort of to my overcoat, but it's almost to sort of say farewell to her.
So I've been speaking with John Ralia, an internationally renowned opera singer who is based here in Lincoln, Rhode Island. Thank you so much for coming to speak with us today, John.
Thank you. Pleasure.